This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أما بعد، all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Sisters in Islam, I greet you all with the greetings of Islam, and I say to every single one of you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful blessed gathering that we get together for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make us from amongst those that get together for the sake of Allah and to get closer to Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that are close to Him. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We've been talking about steadfastness, which is a very important topic for every single one of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be steadfast and to be from amongst those who are steadfast for His pleasure. And for Himself says that nothing had made my hair go grey except the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Holy Quran, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. O Muhammad, be steadfast to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you to be steadfast. So steadfast is not an easy concept in Islam. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam struggled with steadfastness. But what we need to know is to be strong in getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things that we aim as part of this series on steadfastness, particularly after the month of Ramadan, which is the month of steadfastness, is for us to gain knowledge. How can we be steadfast? And we've spoken about being steadfast in seeking knowledge and being steadfast in being part of the beautiful environments that we have for the sisters and the brothers, in particular the good environments that Islam had facilitated for us in different mosques and centers, in particular here at the UMA Center, in which, alhamdulillah, once again, all the sisters are welcome to be with us here at the UMA Center, and sisters also to be with us here online. And we are live, as you all know, alhamdulillah, and inshallah, we'll continue seeking knowledge, and we'll continue conveying the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to everyone, whether face-to-face or online. And another concept that the Sharia teaches us to be steadfast is the concept of seeking knowledge. And that's what we're doing right now. We are seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge is one of the most noble rituals in Islam. That the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was iqra, recite. And the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam iqra, where a lot of people might think, what wasn't the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to be? Pray, salli, or fast, or give da'wah. But the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do was iqra, recite. And what does iqra imply? When you say iqra, it means seek knowledge. What's iqra? Iqra means go and seek knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one way or another to go and seek knowledge. Because through seeking knowledge, you'll gain taqwa. Through seeking knowledge, you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through seeking knowledge, you'll become steadfast. Through seeking knowledge, you'll become strong. Everything starts from seeking knowledge. Iqra, recite. And subhanAllah, also what's amazing about that verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that verse to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the one that does not know how to read and write to read. Iqra. Usually you say that to someone who knows how to read. You know how to read? Iqra. But for you to get to someone that doesn't know how to read and say to him, iqra, recite, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more to just reading, which is going to seek knowledge. And that's why, my sisters in Islam, one of the rituals, one of the elements that help you to be steadfast is seeking knowledge. Go and seek knowledge. Seek knowledge, increase your knowledge in Islam. And that's exactly what every single sister right now is doing here. And every single sister that's online are doing. Seeking knowledge. To seek knowledge and to continue seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge is a noble act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded in the Quran Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there must be from amongst you ta'ifa, a group of people that go and seek knowledge. Islam, alhamdulillah, is a big, broad religion that has different aspects. And Islam has different elements that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants every single one of us to be responsible of, if not all elements, some elements. And not everyone's in a position to go and seek knowledge. Not that everyone's in a position to go and give da'wah. Not that everyone's in a position to go and lead the prayers. Not that everyone's in a position to go and memorize the Quran al-Kareem. Every single one of us has a responsibility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put a responsibility upon a group of people in Islam, in the community of Islam, to seek knowledge and teach knowledge. And subhanAllah, one of the characteristics and teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always to be what? Everyone that learns something from me, go and convey to other people. You learn something from me, go and pass out to other people. You learn something from me, go and teach it to other people. And that's why you look into the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you, those that learn the Qur'an and teach the Qur'an. It's not just about learning, but also teaching. And teaching to others for others to learn. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will constantly say to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, whenever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would deliver a sermon, let the one that's listening to me right now go and convey to the one that's absent. The one that's present, let them listen and convey to those who are absent. Which is the importance of seeking knowledge. And I do believe no religion had emphasized on the importance of seeking knowledge as much as Islam did. The first verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Iqra, Muhammad, recite, read, learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. And there's a lot to learn, obviously, and no one can grasp and no one can comprehend or learn everything at once. There are things that we know and there are things that we don't know. There are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses with that we know of, and there are things that a lot of people don't know. Is this online? Is the sound on online? Okay. So there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed us to know of, and there are things that we don't know of. Not everything that exists on the face of this earth we know of. Even the tangible things that we see. Subhanallah, we're talking about the coronavirus, this pandemic, till now. We know the existence of the virus, but there's no medicine. Is there a medicine for it? Yes, there is. Where did I get that from? In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every single illness and disease, there's a medicine for, except death. So is there a medicine for all those diseases out there? Yes, there is a medicine, but we don't know of it. As we didn't know of many cures and many medicines of diseases in the past, and alhamdulillah, over time, And with the hard work of scientists, Muslims and non-Muslims, they managed to come up with cures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of knowledge out there, but it doesn't mean that we know everything. And subhanallah, what resonates to my mind is the story of Musa alayhi salam and al-Khidr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam to go and meet with al-Khidr. And the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam to go and meet with al-Khidr is because a man asked Musa alayhi salam a question. He said, "Oh Musa, are you?" And this is Musa alayhi salam, the prophet and the messenger of Allah, who is the greatest man at that time. He's told him, Musa, are you the most knowledgeable human being on the face of this earth? So Musa alayhi salam turned around and he said, yes, I am. You know what? When you really think about it, if I'm in the shoes of Musa, I would have said the same thing. Yes, I am. I am the most knowledgeable man. I'm the prophet and the messenger of Allah. I'm the one that speaks to Allah azza wa jalla directly. Yes, I am the most knowledgeable man on the face of this earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Musa a lesson. You can't just give an answer to a question that you don't know of. You have no rights to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded Musa. And he told him, Musa, based on what did you give this answer to this question when someone asked you, are you the most knowledgeable man on the face of this earth? And obviously, Musa has his reasons. He's the prophet, the messenger of Allah. He turned around and he's the one that realized, you know what? I'm the prophet, the messenger of Allah. There's no one more knowledgeable than me. Therefore, I'm the most knowledgeable one. So the Prophet Musa alayhi salam was reprimanded by Allah Azza wa Jal, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Musa alayhi salam a lesson. And the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Musa alayhi salam is that, yes, there is someone who's more knowledgeable than you. And that's Al-Khidr. Go and meet with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the entire story in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Kahf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even gave signs and marks for Musa alayhi salam, where he'll meet this person. And then he met with him. And Musa alayhi salam did not even hold back from going to seeking knowledge. Subhanallah, a prophet and messenger of Allah, one of the greatest prophets and messengers of Allah, one of the greatest creation of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, went to seek knowledge from a stranger. that Musa alayhi salam never met with before. قال هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا. Do you allow me to follow you from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught you? Do you allow me to follow you to learn from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided you to? So Musa alayhi salam followed him. And amongst the events that took place is that while Musa alayhi salam and Al-Khidr were together on a boat, a bird came and drank from the water of the sea that this boat is sailing on. So Al-Khidr tells Musa alayhi salam, tells him, oh Musa, see this zip of water that this bird had drank from? My knowledge to your knowledge is that zip of water. Your knowledge to mine is like that zip of water from this ocean. And my knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that zip of water to this ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Inna Allah bi kulli shayin alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. We are the ones that know very little. So there's so much knowledge out there, but it doesn't mean we grasp all of it. But we need to know the bare minimum. And part of learning the bare minimum of this knowledge, that will assist you on being steadfast. Subhanallah, steadfastness. Every single one of us right now, and I'm talking about myself here, and I'm sure I'm talking to every single sister here at the center, and to all those who are listening to us online. We are all struggling in steadfastness. Compare yourself 5 weeks ago in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan to now. Compare yourself. Every single one of us will say, yes, I was a lot more steadfast. I was a lot more steadfast. I was a lot more steadfast in my prayers, in my reading of the Quran, in my worship, in keeping away from the haram. I was a lot more steadfast. Of course, there's variables between one person and another person. There's difference between one person and another person. But we were a lot more steadfast in the month of Ramadan than what we are right now. What helps us to be steadfast is seeking knowledge. And seeking knowledge is only one element that helps you to be steadfast. And that's why the Sharia emphasized so much on seeking steadfastness. And emphasize so much on seeking knowledge. To the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in one way or another, for you to go and seek knowledge, it's better than you praying. The voluntary prayer is here. The voluntary prayers. Of course, praying is an obligatory. There's no compromise on praying the 5 daily prayers, the 2 Fajr, 4 Dhuhr, 4 Asr, 3 Maghrib and 4 Isha. But in some ahadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba for you to go and learn one verse from the Quran Karim better than praying 100 rak'at. And when we're talking about 100 rak'at, the voluntary, the sunnah rak'at. For you to learn 2 verses of the Quran Karim better than 500 rak'at. For you to learn 10 verses of the Quran Karim better than praying 1,000 rak'at. Subhanallah, seeking knowledge is ibadah. Right now, when you're sitting down, whether those sisters are here or even those are online, right now for you to spare this half an hour, 1 hour for you to go and seek knowledge, this is a form of ibadah. Like how you are praying, and when you are in the state of prayers, you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and receiving rewards. Right now you are receiving rewards for every single moment that you are sparing and every single moment that you are spending in seeking knowledge, for every single attention that you give, for every single thought that you think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the rewards. So it's not like just, you know what, alhamdulillah, it's a nice talk and I'm enjoying myself in this talk. It inspires me and motivates me. And alhamdulillah, I'm coming here to you, my center, and I'm seeing the beautiful sisters here and I'm engaging with them. And alhamdulillah, this and that. No. Just by you spending time and seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. More rewards than you praying. More rewards than you raising your hands and facing the qibla and making wudu and praying and prostrating and bowing. That's seeking knowledge. So seeking knowledge, my sisters in Islam, help you and assist you to be steadfast. And the biggest proof is try yourself after this session. Try yourself after this session. Try yourself after this gathering. You'll find yourself stronger. You'll find yourself stronger with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll find yourself closer to Allah azza wa jalla. Subhanallah, you empower yourself with the power of iman and you empower yourself with the power of steadfastness after you sit down and gather among this gathering. You see the difference. Subhanallah, huge difference between 10 minutes before you came in a gathering like this gathering and 10 minutes after you came out of a gathering like this gathering. It helps you to be steadfast. Seeking knowledge helps you to be steadfast. Seeking knowledge helps you to be on the right path. When you open the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you learn more about the Quran Kareem, you learn more about the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you listen to what the scholars say, listen to the righteous people, what they say. Subhanallah, that connects you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That connects you to Allah Azza wa Jalla and connects you and keeps you steadfast and keeps you on the right path. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will constantly encourage the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala to seek knowledge. So many ahadiths that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had spoken about the importance of seeking knowledge. No religion emphasizes on the importance of seeking knowledge as much as Islam. Islam just emphasizes and reiterates, that the first verse, the first word the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's from Allah, was go and learn, iqra, recite. But subhanAllah, we live in a day and age where seeking knowledge is becoming secondary. If not secondary, is one of the last things that we care about. If you look at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking knowledge was the number one priority. Being around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking knowledge and understanding Islam was the number one priority amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So much so that the rata amongst each other, the Sahaba rata amongst each other, especially those that live far away from the masjid, the rata amongst each other, which one to attend, so the one that learns comes back and conveys it to the one that was absent. That's how vigilant and mindful they were on seeking knowledge. Conscious of the fact to seek knowledge. And alhamdulillah, we are blessed. Yes, we are blessed. We are blessed to be in a gathering right now for us to seek knowledge and learn more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And one of the beautiful things about seeking knowledge, when you learn more about Allah, not only that you just understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better, but you also tend to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And when you love someone more, you get closer to them more. So when you learn more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you just tend to love Allah azza wa jal. And when you tend to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you just become closer to Allah azza wa jal. And you continue to get closer to Allah and get closer to Allah and get closer to Allah until you become so close to Him. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to emphasize on seeking knowledge. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam obligated seeking knowledge. And obviously the obligation of seeking knowledge comes in different categories. The obligation of seeking knowledge comes in different ranks. There's the obligatory knowledge, which is obligatory upon every single male and female Muslim, in which we must learn at least the bare minimum of Islam. What's the bare minimum of understanding Islam? The Sharia, the bare minimum of understanding the Sharia when it comes to the creed, when it comes to the practices, when it comes to the salah, when it comes to the siyam. That's the bare minimum. It's not enough just to say, alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer. Alhamdulillah, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's more to it. You need to know more about Islam. You need to understand more about Islam, especially in this day and age, where the core principles of the Sharia are at stake. The core principles of the Sharia are at stake. And I'm sure most of you saw that statement that we issued yesterday from the Australian National Imams Council on hijab and the position of Islam and hijab, which is simple things. You ask any general mainstream Muslim, what's the Islamic principle on hijab? Everyone will tell you, I know it's fard, it's obligatory. Whether I'm wearing or not, I know it's fard. Not wearing that is a different issue. I believe that I should be wearing the hijab, but I'm not wearing the hijab, Allah forgive me. Like someone, I should be praying, but I'm not praying, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. But the unfortunate thing is that you hear some of the feedback that people are saying, what did you even say was fard? People are questioning the Islamic position on hijab. People are questioning the Islamic position on many different things. These are areas that you can't compromise. Whether you practice them or not, that's something else. People believe in the salah, but I'm not praying. Why? May Allah forgive me. Huge difference between someone says, I don't pray because I don't believe in the prayers. Or I don't wear the hijab because I don't believe in the hijab. That's a major issue. You can't compromise on this. And it really shocked me how many Muslims are even questioning the Islamic position on hijab. You can't question that. It's a clear-cut area. How do you counter this? You counter this by seeking knowledge, understanding your deen, and making sure that people around you and after you continue to understand your deen. Because it all starts from lack of knowledge. People want to debate issues that were never ever debated in the past. People want to debate the legal issues of the Islamic legal position on matters that were never ever debated in the past. And it's slowly now you're talking about hijab and tomorrow something else. And tomorrow the question will be, what's this thing about Allah, Muhammad, both of them don't exist. Even though people right now, Muslims, who're saying, oh, prove to me that Muhammad didn't exist. Maybe it's just a superstitious character, like the different characters. In order for us to preserve and safeguard our religion, we need to seek knowledge. We need to understand. We need to understand our deen. And obviously, you're not in a position, and I'm not in a position for every single one of us to understand our deen from A to Z. But every single one of us has an area to understand. And every single one of us has an area for us to uphold. Just yesterday, one of the brothers from the UMA, he deals a lot with non-Muslims and debating the topic of atheism. He sent me a message asking me for an answer to a question. My reply to him is, I'm not the right person to answer you, because my answer to this question on this topic to the person that you're talking to is going to be irrelevant, because I know how to answer it from an Islamic perspective, from the Quran and Sunnah addressing Muslims. You need to give it a different tweak. You're dealing with this person, you could give this answer in a different way. I'm not the right person for you to ask this question, because my answer is not going to help you. My answer is just direct. It's wrong, haram, halal, that's it. Allah says this, the Quran says this, that's it. That's where I stop. It's not my specialty, but you need to have other specialized brothers and sisters who are addressing those topics in different areas where they can give it more credibility. So seeking knowledge, it doesn't mean, wallah, I need to know everything and you need to know everything. But we need to know something at least. We need to know the bare minimum. And knowing the bare minimum gives you that strength. My brothers and my sisters, and in particular my sisters in Islam, we live in a very, very dangerous day and age. We live in a society where religion in general is at stake. Religion in general, not only Islam. Religion and believing in God in general is at stake. And alhamdulillah, we are safeguarded through the Quran, through the Sunnah, because alhamdulillah, our religion is so concrete. Our religion is so solid. But we need to continue seeking knowledge. In order for us to continue countering this rhetoric and to continue countering this wave that's coming against religion in general, coming against Islam in general, we need to know ourselves, especially as parents. I don't know, most of you have parents, or most of you have young children. You need to empower yourself with the power of knowledge. So you've got to address those topics. So when your kids talk to you, at least you have an answer to them. Because when your children come up to you, your kids, when they come up to you and they ask you a question, and they see mom and dad don't have an answer to this, especially when it's something simple and something that's straightforward, that does not give you a lot of credibility in front of your children for them to continue looking up to you. You need to continue maintaining this thing of children always looking up to their parents. And I always mention that. The number one superhero to the children are always the parents. But when the kids start to pick up on their parents are not doing the right thing, or the parents don't know much, then they start turning away from their parents. And this, subhanAllah, a study that I've looked into personally, why you find many children on the street looking up to thugs and gangsters, for example, or looking up to the wrong people. Why? Because they tried to look up to their parents. They tried to follow the footsteps of their parents, but they found that their parents are not the best of examples. So they deterred away from parents. Initially, they deterred away from them, maybe in a good will, maybe with a good intention, but eventually starts to take the wrong path. So we as parents, we as Muslim parents, we are also responsible in safeguarding and protecting and preserving Islam in the lives of our children. It all starts from knowledge. And that's why my sisters in Islam, it's so important for us to continue dedicating and committing ourselves to seeking knowledge, even if it's 1 hour, like what you're doing right now. 1 hour a week, go and learn something. Go and learn something new. SubhanAllah, Imam Shafi'i, he's a great scholar. He says, there's no good in a day. There is no good in a day where this day is the exact same day as the previous day when it comes to knowledge. If I don't increase my knowledge in this day to me is a useless day. You compare your knowledge to yesterday. Did you learn something more than yesterday, or are you still on the same level as yesterday? To Imam Shafi'i, that day is a useless day. It's an obsolete day. Non-beneficial day. Every single day of your life is not only a day that you increase in age, but also it is a day that you increase in knowledge. Put it as a target in your life that every single day I want to learn something new. Even if it's one hadith that takes you 5 minutes to read, even if it's one verse that takes you 5 minutes to understand, every single day of your life is a day that you not only increase in age, and not only increase in wealth, and not only increase in this, increase in seeking knowledge. So my sisters in Islam, seeking knowledge is a form, a platform in being steadfast. But also seeking knowledge is like the salah. You know how you put yourself a program in the praying, where you've got the 5 daily prayers, you start early in the morning with praying Salat al-Fajr, then midday Salat al-Dhuhr, then al-Asr, and then when the sun sets, Salat al-Maghrib, and then just before you go to sleep, Salat al-Isha. You've got a routine, you've got a system that you are following that helps you to maintain your salah, that helps you to stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You also need to put yourself a system, a routine that you seek knowledge. Put a program for yourself. Put a program for yourself that you continue seeking knowledge. And that program will not only contribute towards you increasing knowledge, but that program also contribute to you being steadfast. To be steadfast. To start on the right path. SubhanAllah helps you a lot. and compare yourself today. I want you to assess, evaluate yourself today. After coming out of this gathering, after coming out of this knowledge circle, whether those sisters are online or those sisters are attending today, assess yourself today. It's going to help you so much to be steadfast. When you walk out of this door today, or when you walk out of this gathering today, you're going to find yourself empowered. You're going to find yourself on the right path. You're going to find yourself inspired. You're going to find your iman being uplifted. So subhanAllah, seeking knowledge helps you so much. And how many people told me the moment that I stopped seeking knowledge, whether attending the Sharia classes or attending the gatherings that we used to attend, whether it's Monday night or Thursday night or Friday night or any other gathering at any other center or the Sarai sisterhood programs, the moment I stopped is that moment I start to fall down in my steadfastness and the moment that I start to fall down in my religion. SubhanAllah, it helps you. Seeking knowledge helps you to be steadfast. It's subhanAllah, it's the vitamin of steadfastness. It's like you are injecting this vitamin in your body to be steadfast. Every single time you sit down in a gathering of this gathering, every time you sit down in a gathering of seeking knowledge, it just continues to help you, help you, help you to be on the right path. Sisters in Islam, giving and living in a day and age where becoming steadfast, becoming perseverant on Islam is a big challenge. It was a challenge during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine? It was a challenge during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a challenge during the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And that's why it is more challenging for us right now. But subhanAllah, the Sharia gives us a lot of incentives. The Sharia gives us a lot of privileges. I was saying to the sisters the other day at the Sharia class that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Who are the Sahaba and that are the greatest of people and that are the greatest generation after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them, if you compromise on 10% of your religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never accept from you. You compromise on 10% of the religion, Allah will not accept from you. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about us, yes, you and I. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about us, there will be a nation that will come after me, or there will be a group of people that will come after me. If they just implement 10% of the religion, Allah will accept from them. SubhanAllah, look at the discrepancy. The Sahaba are not allowed to compromise on 10% of the religion. But then we are allowed not to compromise, but if we don't implement 90%, when we say 90%, don't let your mind drift too far, okay? Because the Sahaba were 100% in their obligatory and core principles of the Sharia. But then you've got the other side that, which is a voluntary side of things. So when it comes to the obligation, there's no compromise, got to be 100%. But then when it comes to the voluntary side of things, when it comes to the non-obligatory act, if you do compromise on it, 90%, Allah's going to accept from you. But from the Sahaba, if they compromise 10%, Allah's not going to accept from them. Look at the incentive that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which tells us right now, we are struggling in upholding 10% of our deen. We are struggling in upholding 10% of our deen. We are struggling implementing 10% of our deen. And the Sahaba were 99% up there. What helps us to be strong in implementing our deen, what helps us to be steadfast, what helps us to be on the right path is seeking knowledge. You need to put yourself in a position where seeking knowledge is like your 5 daily prayers. Like how the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were. And subhanAllah, during the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, if one Sahabi knows that there's another Sahabi knows of something of the Sharia or knows something of the Sunnah that he does not know of, this Sahaba will go to that Sahaba and ask him for that knowledge. They'll go and seek knowledge. They were so conscious, they were so eager, they were so motivated, inspired in going to seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge is a noble thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Quran and Sunnah because of us seeking knowledge, because of our predecessors seeking knowledge. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about the one that seeks knowledge, is on a path to the Jannah, a straight path, direct path to the Jannah. وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever seeks a path of knowledge, Allah will make an easy path for them to the Jannah. Because our ultimate goal, our ultimate destination is what? The Jannah. Every single one of us is working so hard for what? For the Jannah. Every single one of us is striving and sacrificing and putting this time and effort because of what? Because at the end of the day, we want to see ourselves in the Jannah. I don't want to see myself in the hellfire. I want to see myself in the Jannah. What's the path? What's the roadmap to the Jannah? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِي عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever seeks a path of seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an easy path for them to enter the Jannah. Your roadmap, your direction, your navigation to the Jannah is seeking knowledge. Subhanallah. Seek knowledge. Right now, every single one of us is in a vehicle of seeking knowledge. Being navigated to where? We are on the path to the Jannah. Seeking knowledge will take you to the Jannah. So seeking knowledge is not just a beautiful thing, a beautiful sentiment, a beautiful feeling. Alhamdulillah, I love just to listen to those beautiful words. It's like an entertainment sometimes. Unfortunately, some people look at seeking knowledge like an entertainment, like someone watching TV or watching a movie or watching something on TV. People look at it as like an entertainment. Now, seeking knowledge is not entertainment, even though you really entertain yourself and enjoy it. But seeking knowledge before, it's been an entertainment, an enjoyable thing. Seeking knowledge is a worship. Ibadah. Seeking knowledge is a worship. Not only a worship, but one of the greatest of worships. One of the most noblest worships. One of the most beautiful worships. One of the greatest worships that gets you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gets you rewards from Allah azza wa jal. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says that those that seek knowledge are on a path to the Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says for every step that the one that goes and seeks knowledge, for every step they take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Subhanallah. You coming from home to here? You from coming from home to here? Or those brothers and sisters who are online? For every single step they have taken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. And not only that, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says that those that seek knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the angels, not only the angels and even the animals and the insects in the holes, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention, and the fish in the ocean to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for the ones who can't seek knowledge. Look, subhanallah. We didn't even hear that of the salah when someone prays, the angels and the animals and the fish and the insects will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the person that's praying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the angels and the animals and the insects and the fish in the ocean to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for those that can seek knowledge. On your way from ham to here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the angels and Allah made the animals and Allah made the insects and Allah made the fish in the ocean. Say, Ya Allah, forgive her. Ya Allah, have mercy upon her. Why? Because she is sacrificing and she's on her way to go and seek knowledge. Subhanallah, look at the incentives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives those that can seek knowledge. And if there's one thing that I would like you to change your perception out of today's lesson is for you to change your perception that seeking knowledge is not just a gathering. Seeking knowledge is a worship, ibadah. Like every other worship that you attend to in the salah, in fasting, in going to hajj, in going to umrah, seeking knowledge is also a worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the scholars in Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So the scholars are the ones who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the scholars. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also praised those that carry the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored those that have extra knowledge over those that have less knowledge, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the example of the scholar or the one that has knowledge as opposed to the one that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my example to you. Look at the status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the status of the rest of the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the status of the one that seeks knowledge and the one that doesn't seek knowledge. Those that seek knowledge are on a higher status. Those that seek knowledge are on a higher status, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also describes those that seek knowledge are what? The heirs of the prophets and the messengers. Heirs. You are the heir of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Right now, some of the inheritance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is getting divided to you. It's getting passed on to you. What inheritance are we talking about? Not money, not dollar. Something that you can't buy with money. Something that you can't buy with gold. Something that you can't buy with anything. You are right now getting a portion of the inheritance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And what you're getting from the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is what? The knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You are the heir of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You are the one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam had entrusted in continuing his legacy and continuing his da'wah. Through what? Through knowledge, through seeking knowledge. Subhanallah. Unfortunately, one of the reasons that this ummah went through major challenges in the past after this ummah was leading the world, subhanAllah, from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, the one after him, and the great predecessors, they were ruling the world at one stage. They dominated the world, they dominated the East and the West. One of the major factors that had contributed to their strength and had contributed to their power is knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is strength. Knowledge is iman. Knowledge is preserving your Islam in your life. Knowledge is steadfastness. The moment that this nation start to slack off or neglect seeking knowledge is that moment that you start to see a plunge in the Muslim world. Our respect start to diminish. Our honor start to diminish. Our respect and honor, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, hadith, Allah had given victory from the very moment I marched out of Medina. From the very moment that my enemy had heard of me marching out of Medina, I won. Honor and respect. So honored and so respected. We lost the honor. And we lost that respect from the very moment that we started to neglect seeking knowledge. Subhanallah. At one stage, seeking knowledge was the most, not noble, but the most challenging thing that people used to challenge over. It used to be that contest that people used to race over. You know how now people are racing and competing with one another, who's got more money and who's got a bigger house and who's got a nicer car. That's the challenge that people are challenging one another these days. That's the race that we're in now. The biggest race right now, people are racing one another and people are contesting each other over money, over wealth, over houses, over cars, over fame, over reputation, over power. That's the struggle that we have. Who is challenging one another? Who's got more knowledge? Have you ever sat down with someone or you saw people that are contesting each other in seeking knowledge, in going to gatherings of knowledge, in going to this chair, in going to the imam, increasing their knowledge in the Quran, increasing their knowledge in the hadith? That contest doesn't exist. On the contrary, no one is even interested in that. Very little of people are interested. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless you to be from amongst those. That Allah, you've got other people out there that are probably out there racing against each other. Who's going to buy a nicer house? Who's going to buy a nicer this? Who's going to buy this? Who's going to buy that? Which is nothing wrong with that. Go and have the best house. And go and have the best car. And go and have the best dress. And go and have this, that. But at the end of the day, when do we ever contest? When do we ever race for seeking knowledge? That doesn't exist. In the past, they used to race. He knows more hadith. He knows more Quran. He's got a better sanad. He's been sitting down with more mashayikh. He's got this. And that was their race. That was their race. In the past, their race and their challenge was, who has more knowledge? Who learns more of the Quran Kareem and understands more of the Quran Kareem and has more hadith in their memory and has this and has that? That was their challenge in the past. And that's why they were honored. And that's why back then, right now, when you talk about what profession, what creed do you find to be the most elite or the most respectful career? Usually doctor, engineer. You talk about this and that, which there's nothing wrong with that again. But when do you ever mention a sheikh, for example, or becoming a sheikh or an imam? No. That's one of the lowest careers. That's the least career that you want to be part of. That's the least career. You want to become a sheikh? No respect, no income, no status, no this, no that. That's a perception that people have. And alhamdulillah, now it's better, but in the past, it's a disaster. It's the dropouts that get into becoming a sheikh, yes. Back then, during the honorable times, the golden times of Islam and Muslims, the imam used to be the hierarchy. The sheikh used to be above a minister. The imam and the scholar used to be like, you know, that's what I want to be in the future. That's the person, that's the career, that's the profession that I want to undertake. That's what I want to become in the future. Who thinks of that these days? Subhanallah, becoming a sheikh or becoming an imam, becoming a scholar, it's like, you know what? That's it. This person has no future. I feel sorry for this person. He's going to become a sheikh. I feel sorry for him and drop out. But back then, during the golden age of Islam and the Muslim Ummah, the scholar used to be the most respected person in the community. The scholar used to be the most respected person that walks amongst people. He used to be closer to the Khalifa, closer to the head of state than the minister themselves. The scholar, subhanAllah, knowledge, because that's empowerment, that's respect. And that doesn't mean any other career is not important. Yes, they are important, but we're talking about in status. And subhanAllah, seeking knowledge gives you status. Seeking knowledge gives you respect. Seeking knowledge gives you honor. And seeking knowledge will keep you steadfast. So my sister in Islam, look at seeking knowledge as a ritual, as a ibadah. They get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through seeking knowledge. And look at seeking knowledge as a form of helping you to be steadfast, to be on the right path, to continue getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who are steadfast. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who continue to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept from you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ending live stream. And now.